Pentecost today, even though we believe in the triune God, some Christians, maybe even some of us, don't quite understand the Holy Spirit. We might be afraid of the Holy Spirit. We might be afraid because we are uncertain of who the Holy Spirit is and what He does. I mean, you heard it in the reading from Acts. Divided tongues as of fire rested upon the heads of those who were there. That makes absolutely no sense to us. What does this look like? What in the world was going on that day? And because of that, we may be afraid. Or we simply might not understand. But Pentecost reminds us that we do not need to fear the Holy Spirit. The 3,000 believers on the first Pentecost didn't fear what they were witnessing. They were simply awestruck. We shouldn't be afraid. I think we sometimes fear the Holy Spirit because we don't know that much about Him. Quite frankly, we don't spend a whole lot of Sundays talking about the Holy Spirit. We talk about Jesus. We talk about His sacrifice. We know a great deal about the Father, the Creator. We know a great deal about the Son, our Redeemer. But the Sanctifier, the Holy Spirit, is one that we are a little fuzzy on. We're kind of lost when it comes to the Holy Spirit. Sometimes the Spirit is called the unknown member of the Holy Trinity. Many Christians today are a little bit like a small band of isolated believers whom Paul found in Ephesus and asked the question, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They answered, no. We haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Even today, many Christians simply don't understand that there is a Holy Spirit. They don't understand the role of the Holy Spirit in their faith. They understand the school spirit, they understand team spirit, but when it comes to the Holy Spirit, that's an entirely different matter. The very name Spirit suggests something eerie and spooky, maybe even. A ghost. Even the old title Holy Ghost makes it sound like something out of Ghostbusters or some movie like Poltergeist. Adding to our fear are the ways certain people act and speak when they claim to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. You heard it from the book of Acts. They spoke in tongues. And if you stopped there, you wouldn't understand that that means other languages. Other human languages that are understandable for people. Sometimes we see on TV, people are screaming, they're waving their arms. Maybe they're even passing out, saying that they have been overcome by the Spirit. We fear that Spirit because we feel like if that ever happens to us, we'll be totally out of control. We will act in strange ways in front of other people, which would make us feel very uncomfortable. Kind of like when somebody dresses like a ghost on Halloween. Small children run in the opposite direction, screaming out of fear. In their minds, a ghost is an evil thing that hurts people. Maybe it's something just to be avoided altogether. How often is it that you talk about ghosts with your family? Probably not very often, and if you did, they probably would wonder about you. And unfortunately, some Christians carry the very same fear about the Holy Spirit. They think of Him more of some kind of ghost. They fear what He might do to them or that He might force them, again, to act in some kind of out-of-control way, an embarrassing way. And out of such false fear, we at times may wish to ignore the Spirit or downplay His significance in our lives. Ignoring the Holy Spirit would be tragic. Because the church needs the Holy Spirit as much today as it did on that first Pentecost. Each of us needs His power and work in our lives. Think about it. We are in the year 2018. We are very far removed from Jesus walking this earth. How would we know of these things without the Holy Spirit working through the Word of God? We wouldn't. We would be lost. The church would not have expanded as it has in our world without the working of the Holy Spirit. Our carnival, our vacation Bible school. Without the Holy Spirit working in the hearts and minds of those people, there will be no conversion. That only happens through the Holy Spirit. And so, if we look at who the Holy Spirit really is and what He does for us, we will no longer fear Him. We will embrace Him. The way the Holy Spirit worked on that first Pentecost is the same way that He's working today. On that first Pentecost, the words of our reading say this: they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven, and at this sound the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. I don't know if you remember or not, but we had Pastor Colin Duke and his wife, Deaconess Jackie, come visit us. And what was their mission? To go to Lima, Peru, to learn Spanish, and to teach God's word to the people in Lima. I don't know Spanish. I can't go over there and do that. The Holy Spirit leads him and guides him, and his wife right now is there in Lima, Peru, teaching people in other languages about the word of God. Without that first Pentecost, might not be here right now. We need to be able to hear God's word in our own language. We need to be able to hear the truth of Jesus Christ and Him crucified for us in our own language. How important it is. The disciples, when they were filled with the Spirit, were not babbling incoherently. Speaking sensible, reasonable language. The Holy Spirit didn't cause them to lose control or to hop around or flop around on the floor. Rather, He filled them with courage. He filled them with conviction. He filled them with joy, empowering them. Empowering them to proclaim the true Word of God to the people who were present. To announce and proclaim Christ our Savior. They killed, who was risen, and who forgave them unto eternal life. 3,000 heard and believed and were baptized. Could you imagine? 3,000 people were added to God's kingdom because of the work of the Holy Spirit. That's an amazing thing. The Holy Spirit does the same thing for us today. We have been converted. We don't have to be afraid. He brings us in. He reunites us with our Heavenly Father. Maybe some of you remember the story in the Old Testament, the Tower of Babel, when the people thought that they could make a tower to the heavens and reach God and be with Him, maybe even be like Him, maybe even be better than Him. And what did God do? He dispersed them. He gave them different languages. So they couldn't understand one another. How often does that happen to you? Even when we speak the English language, how often do we misspeak with one another? It happens all the time. If you don't believe me, just text somebody sometimes. All the time we misinterpret what people are saying. And that's just an English language. But today, the dispersion of the people across the face of the planet in different languages. God brings us all back together. Not with the same language, but with the same message in different languages. So that we are all united. God's desire wasn't to disperse us and keep us dispersed, but to bring us back together in the truth and purity of His Word. To bring us back to partake in His true body and blood as the communion of saints. A union. Togetherness. It's very important for us. And what a difference the Holy Spirit makes in the life of a Christian. It's the Holy Spirit who brings us to faith in Jesus Christ. And it's in us that has that understanding because of the Holy Spirit, because of what He has done for us. Think about your journey through the Christian life. Maybe some of you were brought later in life. Maybe some of you started out as a baby at the font. How did you grow? I can tell you from personal experience where I was when I started the seminary to where I was at the end of seminary were two totally different places. Not because of my own understanding, but because of the Holy Spirit. That's us. Think about the Bible studies that we've done. Think about all the studies that we've done. When we start the course and when we end it, we're in two different places. Every single Bible class, we start in one place and we end in a different place because of the work of the Holy Spirit. Remember your confirmation? Remember how little you knew when you came to confirmation? You maybe didn't even know what the small catechism was. And when you got it, you probably thought, this really book really isn't all that small. But at the end, you understood. Not everything. None of us do. But you had an understanding because of the work of the Holy Spirit. You had an understanding of who you were as a sinful human being. You had an understanding of who Jesus was and what He did for you as your Savior. Who gave His life up. You really finally understood what that cross was all about. More than just fancy jewelry or pretty simple for us to have in our church, but life and salvation comes from the cross. How did that happen without the Holy Spirit? Not possible. But with the Holy Spirit working through the Word of God, we have faith. We believe. We believe we receive the true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of all of our sins. We believe that Jesus Christ rose again to new life because of the work of the Holy Spirit. Not because we were there. Not because we have scientific evidence of this, but because of faith. God-given faith. Oftentimes you hear me proclaim this truth at funerals. Those who passed on had God-given faith. Just like you. We're united in that God-given faith through the working of Spirit. First, the Spirit-filled church dedicated itself to the study of God's Word. And even Luke wrote these words, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. And what did the apostles proclaim? Jesus Christ and Him crucified. These early Christians, they devoted themselves to the apostles, to the biblical teaching, to the Word about Jesus' saving work. This was them learning and studying as we have. This was the church growing like we've grown. People of God today should likewise be in the Word, studying at home in daily devotions, taking every opportunity to come to church, taking every opportunity to hear God's Word in Bible study as well. Each Christian needs to study the Word alone and in the company of other Christians so the Holy Spirit can. The second mark of a Spirit-filled church is mentioned in Acts chapter 2. It's in fellowship. Fellowship. What we share in common is our faith in the one true God. We have the same God as our Father, the same Jesus Christ as our Savior, the same Spirit as our teacher and comforter, our helper. Our common faith brings us together in mutual concern and care for one another. That is fellowship. And the third mark of the church is the Spirit's presence in worship. This might not be a feeling. You might not feel any different. But we know He's present because we have the Word of God. The early believers were devoted to the breaking of bread, that is the Lord's Supper, and to the prayers. The Spirit-filled church is a worshiping, praying church, a picture that is worshiped. This is their church. People listening intently, participating actively, hearing the Word of God proclaimed in its truth and purity. They were happy to be there to hear the Word of God. And so are we. To receive the sacraments. To receive that forgiveness that we need. And the final mark of the church, the Spirit-filled church, we find in Acts chapter 2. The early church was a church of evangelism. Simply put, they had outreach. they reached out to the surrounding area. The Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Since God desires that all people would be saved, we are commanded to go into all the world and to proclaim the gospel message. Today at 10:30, we will be talking about outreach. We will be talking about evangelism through our carnival. And we will also be looking forward to our vacation Bible school. Again, another evangelistic outreach opportunity. 2 months I have talked about evangelism in the newsletter. This is an important thing for us to reach out, just as we have been reached out to through God, through the working of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, you and I don't have to be afraid. We don't have to worry about the Holy Spirit and be afraid of what He's going to do to us, but we know the truth. He will not embarrass us or cause us to do anything outrageous or shocking. Rather, He will lead us to the apostolic doctrine of the church, the teaching of our Savior Jesus Christ, what that crucifixion and death means, our salvation, and that we have that forgiveness freely given to each and every one of us, to loving fellowship, to authentic worship, and to compassionate outreach. We pray for the Spirit to come to us now and to make us into the kind of Christians and that kind of church that He desires us to be. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord.
Amen. Amen.